generative AI is a skill set that you should be embracing and brushing up on, or just in general, trying and having conversations about. And then also in your day-to-day job, right? You're going to be going up against people that have this experience and that are leaning into this movement and thinking about how that's going to affect you. Well, maybe it might not be who's the best at using generative AI. Maybe it will be who's more efficient.
Hey, fellow marketers, welcome to another episode of the Marketing Careers Podcast presented by themarketinghelp.co. Okay, here we are, third episode in our series focused on helping marketers, marketing leaders, and teams navigate this disruption of generative AI. So in the open, you heard from our next guest. That is Ashley Gross. Now, she is the Global Campaigns Marketing Manager and the liaison for an internal marketing AI task force at Commerce Tools. Now, I got to agree with Ashley and her point that Gen AI is a skill set, and it is a skill set that marketers need to have. No longer it's a nice to have, but it's a need to have as they continue their career journey. So Ashley's going to provide some deeper insights into the impact of Gen AI for marketing teams, as well as some other tips on how to effectively operate an internal AI task force within your organization. Because if you don't have one now would be a good time to start. And she's got all the great insights and tips for that. Now, she's also created one of the greatest resources for staying on top of all things AI, AI marketing related. So check the show notes for a link to subscribe to that newsletter. So here we go, our third episode. And this is my conversation with Ashley Gross from Commerce Tools. Ashley, welcome to the episode.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's just set some good context here, just in terms of, you know, this is the Marketing Careers Podcast. So we always love to hear from marketers in terms of their path, in terms of how they got to where they are today. So maybe just take a couple of minutes, walk us through what was the impetus for getting interested in marketing. What were some of the stops along the way? And then how did you end up at Commerce Tools?
Sure. I'm happy to take you through that. So I guess I'll go back to 18, because that's when I found myself getting involved in marketing. I was also fascinated with psychology and sociology, and the two are very much combined.
Yep.
I was working towards an undergrad degree in biology. So really interested in like the human brain, what makes us make the decisions we make? What is the influence? What is that tied to? So I was fascinated by all those subjects already. I had a friend who had a friend that happened to work for Google, and I had already had an internship at another corporation. And one day she let me come and shadow her at work, and I got everyone their coffee orders. And I like to joke and say, like, I just didn't leave for 3.5 years.
Nice.
They let me stick around and absorb as much as I wanted to, which is very nice.
Power of networking. I like it. Just show up and then never leave.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And I've been in technology for the full 10 years of my marketing career. So I found Commerce Tools just because it's such a rare gem of a company. It was in this hyper growth state. And I was like, I want that experience. I want to do a lot of the growing and the scaling. And I want it all at once. And I want to start figuring it out and getting my hands dirty. And that is why I sought that experience out. And I'm so thankful to be running global campaigns there.
Great. So when you describe what you do at Commerce Tools, you know, and maybe at a high level, you know, to friends and family, maybe those that don't understand marketing or aren't in the marketing space, how do you describe what you do there? You're a global campaigns marketing manager. What is it that you're doing at Commerce Tools? But then also maybe shed some light on that internal task force and at a high level, what you're doing there.
I'm having internal deja vu. This is like my Thanksgiving dinner pitch when the family's like, what do you do? And you get your pitch down really well.
That's right.
So I run full funnel demand generation campaigns, omni-channel style. I basically project manage, and it's cross-tied into every marketing department. So performance, product marketing, content, it's all very much intertwined in this role. So I love that. And I tell people that I'm really happy with my job because I get to learn something new every single day, and I get to work with each department. So not only do I get to create these campaigns, but I get to see them through their eyes and therefore enhance my marketing skills to see what they need to see and just make it overall a better experience for everyone. So that's what I do in my day to day. And then I'm also the marketing liaison for our internal AI task force, which is incredibly rewarding. I'm very excited about that. And what I do there is it's exactly what it says. So I represent marketing. And in those task force sessions, I come forward with what we're working on in marketing as far as generative AI goes. We kind of have a knowledge sharing session, if you will, and talk about what use cases we're seeing. We report back to our departments what we want to enhance and work towards next, or what our stuck points are. And it's really just an open forum learning session, I would say, with generative AI in general. We have a Slack channel, we have a group. We're very active in it. Even with ongoing industry articles, we're always making sure we're sharing them and getting everyone's perspective on them. It's just an enjoyable group to be around. I would just say, like, the yes people.
Nice. I love the structure of that, because it reminds me of, in my past experiences, and I know other marketers that I work with, you know, the term centers of excellence comes up, where there's this body of individuals that are charged with ensuring that everybody is in tune with best practices, what's happening, industry trends, all those things. So I can appreciate the formation of a task force. I love a good task force, because what that tells me is that there's a responsibility amongst a couple of people to ensure that the entire internal infrastructure is kind of plugged into what's going on, especially now with AI. So that's great. So, you know, let's kind of unpack this generative AI situation. As you know, this is a conversation, and this series that we're launching here is just really focused on some of the biggest disruptions that are happening across marketing teams, but also marketing careers. And we'll cover that in our conversation here today. And we're looking just to provide our audience, you know, the tips, the insights, the anecdotes, the cautionary tales, whatever you can pull from your experiences, from experts like yourself. And we're just looking to help our audience better navigate not just their marketing departments and teams, but also their careers. So maybe let's set some context here, just from a very foundational standpoint here, is what is your, I guess, from your perspective, how would you define just the term generative AI?
I love this question. So my term for generative AI, I always tell people it's the marketing intern that gets all the grunt work that you don't want to do, but that needs to get done. It's just a little buddy that helps you streamline tasks you don't want to do. That's my definition of generative AI, because I like that it's an open approach. It's not one definition. It's not one thing. It can be whatever you want it to be.
And I love that when you put in those terms, obviously you personify it into that. It's that individual that can help. But the other key word that I like there is streamline. Because, you know, we'll talk about some other examples potentially here about ways that we're using Gen AI to streamline, and everyone may define streamline differently, but it's all good, because usually it's what used to take weeks, months takes, you know, hours and days. Exactly. So when you think about the day-to-day, you know, you talked about your role, what you're doing, you know, piecing together, managing chaos, but you know, the thread connective through all those teams. What's been the impact on your day to day? Now, we talked about streamline, so maybe it's are there key use cases you have in using some of these tools in the streamlining, or are there other benefits than streamlining?
There's so many benefits. I would say one of my favorite benefits is overall job satisfaction, because I'm doing less of the things I don't like to do, but are very much necessary and a part of my day to day. And I get more time to myself to do those tasks that I actually enjoy doing, whatever that may be. And it's no longer a limitation, it's an addition. So I would say that's my number one benefit, is just enjoyment, getting back to enjoying what you do. In technology specifically, we've got high levels of burnout. So I think that we could probably use a little bit more enjoyment in our day-to-days. So just really unpacking that and looking at ways to make your day-to-day easier by coming up with use cases, whether that be planning an event, planning a webinar talk track, creating a campaign, templatizing. You know, we talked about scale and growth in technology industries in general, whatever that may be for you, if it brings you enjoyment, then it's increasing your day-to-day value.
And that's a great way to look at it, I think, because everybody will 100% agree on not enough hours in the day, but then if you are able to be more efficient, you know, just the angle of joy, I think, is unique, because, you know, how many of us forget to even think about that in trying to tie that level of fulfillment to our day-to-day, when we mostly think about work being work. But if you're able to, you know, and anyone that's used a Gen AI tool, you know that feeling when the complex has become simple, when the 4-hour task has become 30 minutes, you know, that is an element of fulfillment I think everybody should appreciate when it comes to leveraging these tools in the day-to-day. When you think about what you're doing with all the teams you're interacting with, what is a, call it, recipe for success in achieving that streamlining or achieving that fulfillment? You know, what does it take to be successful, a successful team implementing generative AI?
So this is a twofold answer. So I would say, because I for sure am not the sole person responsible for the success of generative AI, I would say our CMO was really great with the top-down approach of just saying, hey, generative AI, let's go learn about it and embrace it and figure out what makes the most sense for us to use. So just having that no reins freedom of like encouragement from leadership was so crucial in this being successful. So that would be my first bit of advice to anybody out there listening. Your leadership has to be on board and be a really big advocate in order for you to create that environment of curiosity when it comes to generative AI. The second answer to that would be meet people where they're at. So I always joke that I have like this human first approach to generative AI. I went to every single marketing department and just said, what do you not love about your job? And then I solved those problems using generative AI. And I did that for two different reasons. One, there's not a lot of resources out there for how to roll out generative AI. So that was just kind of like the dart that I threw. And I was like, we're going to A/B test this. And it worked. And I'm so happy it did. But the second part of that reasoning was, if you can get people to mass adopt it by solving problems that they've wanted solved using technology, you're going to get them bought in quicker than if you try to just roll out another technology in their tech stack and say, you need to learn this X, Y, Z. Pair it to something that brings them value, and then they can start to kind of trial it on their own and feel comfortable to do so.
I love the two-part answer, and I love the fact that second part, because it's almost like how marketers think about their own products and services is like, listen to your audience. And the look on the faces of your team members when you said that, I'm sure they were probably like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, you're telling me you can help me solve for this thing that I hate doing? What a great approach. I want to dig into the first answer a little bit more here, where, you know, again, you're in a fortunate position where your CMO is saying, hey, there's something here that we need to be aware of. Let's go dig in. Based on what you've seen, what tips do you have for those marketing teams out there that maybe it isn't top down and maybe it has to be organically bottom up? What's a way to kind of get the attention of the executive level to back the investment of whether it's tools, courses, learning, development? What's the tip to go bottom up to get everyone on board?
Yeah. So we talk about my favorite benefit being joy, right? That's just mine. But if you're looking at someone in a leadership position, maybe they're focused on ROI. Maybe they're focused really heavily on marketing efficiency. Learning to see your same benefits and what makes you happy to use generative AI through their eyes is what is going to show them what the value is for them. So same thing. It's just a different application. If I'm going to enhance my job satisfaction, I'm also managing my time better, which makes my workload better, which makes me able to take on more tasks. You know, you see this domino effect. And eventually, if you go through enough dominoes, you'll see how it affects them. Find that domino.
Yep. I love it. Yeah, exactly. So it's the, you know, business case in quotes here in terms of how investing in this will help you, exactly. The CMO or the exec level or whoever needs to buy into it. So when you think about all the things that you're doing, this might be more from a personal standpoint, you know, it's been amazing to watch not just the disruption, but also it almost takes me back to when social media kind of became a thing where there's a tool, there's thousands and thousands of tools that exist. And we've all seen the list of tools. We've all seen the charts. Everyone's got a list or a infographic. But from your perspective, from your world, when it comes to use of AI tools, two questions for you. One, what is your favorite in terms of using for achieving certain goals you have? And then secondly would be, is there a tool out there that you're dying to try but haven't had a chance to yet?
Okay. So many great tools out there.
Yeah.
So I would say the tool I've had the longest run with is Jasper. So I discovered Jasper almost 4 years ago. I really enjoy Jasper. So I would say that that's a great start for some people. Everyone learns differently, but I think that they have really nailed down their templates and it makes the user experience a lot better so that you just get to, I mean, they have a button that enhances your prompt for you. Right. They literally do prompt working. So if you're going to learn how to use generative AI in a safe way that's digestible, I would say Jasper. is there any tools that I have not gotten my hands on yet? I would say no standalone generative AI tools that I can name, but I will say there's a lot of companies that are rolling out a generative AI product that, you know, we've already been using. HubSpot and Salesforce is a great example of, you know, software that's enhancing with AI. I would say I want to see those kind of come to fruition a little bit more and trial them out, because those would be, hypothetically, if they work, that would be great.
Right. I mean, you're right. Cause I like how you brought that up, because there's kind of two perspectives here. There's the standalone AI tool. Then there's the AI functionality existing within tools.
Yes.
And when you think about it, it's a matter of, you know, how long before we start to see that AI functionality quote, and I put it in quote unquote, because some are doing it well and some we expect it from, but then there's others that might be trying to force it into their product or service and it may not be a good fit. So that's a good perspective in terms of wanting to see not just having it, but having it be functional to their specific product, like the HubSpot and Salesforce.
To your point, the sustainability of it, right? So we're already seeing this issue where they're having a hard time segmenting themselves as generative AI applications standalone. So I think the faster, for me, when I'm looking at generative AI applications, I look at, okay, design, for example, Midjourney owns it. That's, they're flawless. Why mess with it? It's a great product. Let's move on to like the next department or the next issue. Who does content the best? And kind of like go more from like a holistic point of view that way, as opposed to saying like, I'm going to try this, this, and this. Because if I have a problem that I want fixed and I want it to be a good user experience, I'm just going to take a Loom video of how long it takes me to do that task, send it off to three generative AI companies and say, what can you do? Can you video the process and that, what that looks like using your platform? Send it back to me. If it's a match, great. If it's not, that's okay too.
I love that. I love that idea. How many people will actually do that? Because that sounds like a great way to not just let the companies do the work for you, because here's my problem. Show me your solution. I will consider it all through a Loom video, which is great. So that kind of leaks into where we want to cover here in a little bit here in terms of where is all this going? What do we need to be thinking about when it comes to not just the day-to-day that we're all in our marketing positions, but some of the impacts that we might be anticipating a couple months down the road. So we're going to cover that in a couple minutes, but first let's take a quick break. Hey there, Eric here, your host of the Marketing Careers Podcast. Now, I trust you're enjoying this episode that is focused on giving you some great insights and tips on how to navigate your disruption around Gen AI within your organization. Now, stay tuned, because when we get back to the episode, we're going to be tackling some thoughts on predictions and trends and things you can be prepared for in the future. But I just want to let you know, when we started the Marketing Help almost 10 years ago, we wanted to help marketers navigate their career. And since then, our mission has evolved really to focus on providing marketing career mentorship, plus also helping CMOs with CMO disruption advisory support. Now, as a collective, our entire team and myself, we've been helping marketers and marketing leaders navigate disruption for over 20 years, starting with some of the earliest e-commerce, social, and mobile disruptions to the return to office remote team disruptions through the pandemic, and now supporting with the help of navigating this world of generative AI. So if you're a CMO or a marketing leader and looking for the playbook to help you and your team navigate this generative AI disruption, and maybe you need a little bit of some guidance or just some tools to get you started, and you don't want to take notes from all the episodes that you're listening to, so we've made it easy for you. Just head on over to this URL, themarketinghelp.co/GenAI. G-E-N-A-I. You can also find the link in the show notes too, but there you'll find a free sample from our new book. We just released the book on Amazon titled CMO Disruption Playbook Generative AI. So we've extracted some value from that book, gave you a little free sample download that gives you some specific tips, a little bit of a checklist to help you make sure you're doing the right things to help you navigate your team's generative AI disruption. So check it out. themarketinghelp.co/GenAI. Listen, you don't want to navigate this disruption on your own. We want it to help make it easier for you. So head on over to that URL, themarketinghelp.co/GenAI. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts to make sure you're catching all the episodes from this season. All right, let's get back to the episode. What I'd like to do is maybe let's take some time here, focus forward. Thinking about the impacts that we can see and maybe project, predict, assume, however you want to phrase it, Because I think our audience is really going to be influenced and inspired by, if they're late to the game, they're laggards. Well, now they know what they need to do to get caught up. But there's no harm in getting your perspective on where we think things are going to go. So let me start with this. And I call it my coulda, shoulda, woulda moment. If you go back to the time when you realized, what does AI mean? Meaning you were learning it for the first time. And you think about that day where you said, oh my gosh, this is amazing, all the way through to today. Is there a woulda, coulda, shoulda? Is there a different path you would have taken?
I don't think there would be a different path. I will say, when I first discovered generative AI almost 4 years ago and started using it in my day to day, I think I treated it like a dirty little secret. Like I was like, oh my gosh, this makes everything I'm doing so much better. And for some reason, my default was, don't tell anyone that I'm doing it. Like, you know, because it almost felt like it was cheating. And so I think my, if I could go back moment would be just to scream it from the rooftops and be like, I'm doing this and everyone else should try it too. This is so cool. This is adding so much value. You know, this is amazing. Like, let's all get together and start talking about this sooner. That would be my go back and change the course.
That's a great point, because I think everyone had that moment. And we've seen this, you know, from the education standpoint, we've seen where, you know, we don't let one professors to know we're using ChatGPT. Meanwhile, most of them already knew. But yes, there is this element of like, gosh, I don't want people to know that I haven't been working hard, or it didn't take me 4 hours. It only took me 30 minutes. But you're right. What would have happened if all of us sooner had gotten to the rooftops to shout, hey, over here, over here, over here, check all this out. Maybe we would have acknowledged some streamlined efficiencies sooner. Oh, well. But a good perspective there, just in terms of letting, not feeling bad about the streamlined nature that you were gathering there. So when you think about, well, I guess I'm more curious in your perspective, when you think about the impact of AI, and this is almost like the whatever the phrases are, right? So the 800-pound gorilla in the room, whatever you want to say. What's your perspective on the impact of what you've seen with generative AI, specifically tied to teams, marketing teams, and marketing roles?
So in order to answer this question, I think we just first need to start off by acknowledging last week was ChatGPT's 1 year anniversary of them announcing. And just like, just to put that in perspective, in 1 year, let's just think about the evolution of generative AI internally and externally. So I very much recognize that a year ago, the conversations were, you know, how can we use generative AI to enhance copy? And now we're in this space of what all can we do with generative AI? Like, let's apply this to every single function we're doing. Let's try to involve this in every aspect of marketing that we can, if it makes sense to. And just even something so simple as looking at the roles, right? Like a year ago, you would see a content writer and then an editor position. And now it's like, well, why would we need both of those when they could be the same person if they're using the right technology to enhance what they're bringing to the table? So as far as impact goes, I've seen a drastic change and I continue to see this progress with job applications. This is very much a skill set. Generative AI is a skill set that you should be embracing and brushing up on, or just in general, trying and having conversations about. And then also in your day-to-day job, right? You're going to be going up against people that have this experience and that are leaning into this movement and thinking about how that's going to affect you. Well, maybe it might not be who's the best at using generative AI. Maybe it will be who's more efficient, who can get the most done with the least amount of resources. These are things that everyone should be thinking about as far as impact goes.
I love it, because the bar is so low for someone to educate themselves so quickly on, again, no one's going to be expert overnight. However, you'll learn a heck of a lot if you spend an hour here, hour there. Like you said, when you first started just kind of tinkering with it, testing it, using it to solve certain problems. So it isn't like there's some amazing, you know, buy-in or hurdle to get into it. You could pick it up, you know, and start, you know, challenging yourself today on some of those skills. Yeah. So specific to the marketing team, let's pretend, you know, you're a marketing leader and you have to build a marketing team, you know, and this is 12 months from now. Is there a job description that you're writing that doesn't exist today, but will exist in 12 months?
if you're a marketing leader.
So you're writing, is there a job description you're writing? Like you said, content writer, content editor may not be the titles that we're looking for in 12 months. Is there a different marketing role title that will come out of all this learning that's happening?
I would say emerging technology specialist. I would look for titles like that. I don't think that it would be, I don't think we're in the realm of AI specific because we do have a lot of technology that is doing a lot of different things. So I think the roles we can anticipate seeing are, in general, when it comes to technology, who can come in and apply technology to people problems and solve them quicker so that we can actually move on to the next thing and start producing and not keep getting the same blockers.
I love that because, that's a great tip just for anybody who's looking to, you know, build out their resume, develop their profile on LinkedIn. Well, if you're not a marketer and you're not commenting on or engaging with content around this topic of generative AI, then you're kind of missing the boat because you have to imagine, and you probably see this with people that you interact with. If I'm deciding on who to hire, am I going to go with somebody who's been really knee deep and talking about engaging with and examples of their work with working with AI, or someone who, you know, I'm getting around to it and maybe hasn't shown that they've embraced and tried testing some of these tools and technologies?
It's almost like the movement of CRMs, right? So whenever Salesforce and Pardo and Marketo started coming out and everyone started getting certified and learning how to run their own reports, it's almost the equivalent of that. Because if you don't at least know what generative AI is and you're not dabbling in use cases, that's the equivalent of not knowing how to work a CRM. And that's part of their tech stack at a company you're trying to apply for.
Love that analogy because you're right. how many... Between today and the next 6 months, how many AI certification courses will there be? And when we say certification, maybe it's not a certification as much as it is a simulation of something so that you can get the A, B, and C done tied to using a specific tool set. Great point. So anyone out there thinking about, oh yeah, I remember that when I had to learn HubSpot real quick. Yeah, rinse, repeat. Same sort of situation that we're in now. Sticking with that thought process of marketing team leaders in the future. What should I be thinking about when it comes to developing my team? How would you educate or what would you recommend to a marketing leader in terms of measuring success? How does one measure success of generative AI beyond what we've already discussed? Streamlining, efficiency, joy. Are there any other metrics that teams should be thinking about?
A ton. I would say this all needs to be done in phases. So once you've got the joy and the adoption is looking good, then you can move on to the efficiency and the revenue. And I think that instead of giving specific KPIs that they should focus on, it's what do they want to do? And then let's use generative AI to do that because that's exactly what it is. It's whatever you want, you can make it happen with that use. So don't limit yourself. If you want to see a specific KPI from your marketing team, go figure out how they can use generative AI to solve for that problem.
I think that would
be my answer.
Phenomenal tip because you're putting it back on us to say, where does it hurt? Okay, great. Figure out which tool to use to make it not hurt.
Yeah.
Or if you're trying to grow from X to Y, which tools make the most sense to help you grow from X to Y? And my head goes to, you know, to the simple conversion points of, you know, traffic, landing page lead conversion, nurturing. Like there's AI tools that help with all those.
Yep. So, and I would also say success isn't an endpoint, right? Like I would be concerned if they had a certain roadmap and it just ended once they hit whatever KPIs they wanted to hit. I think that once you go through these phases and you no longer are dealing with the same problems, you should up level your team and you should continue to dive deeper because who knows where we're going to be in a year from now with the use cases.
I think what you just described there, I think is what's going to be the differentiator of high performing teams and mediocre teams. Because
I agree.
That's the best mindset to embrace, which is like, we're not done. Or it's right. Like, hey, great. We got there. We met our goal. Here's what's next.
Right. It would be like if you had the same problem 10 years from now. That would be worrisome. Yeah. If you're still trying to solve that one problem,
great
you
point.
Should always be evolving.
I love it. So Going back to the skill set, so you talked about, you know, any marketer out there, today's your day to get started. So if you leave our audience thinking about the three skills that they should dive into, so maybe go a layer deeper. So learn, like tinker with Gen AI tools. Got it. But certain skills that they should be developing over time, are there a top three skill sets that every marketer should be working on right now?
Yes, and I will make a joke at my expense. I used to think I was amazing at communicating because when you're in a position like global campaigns, you kind of have to be pretty good at it. And I learned very quickly and humbled myself that I was not great at communication simply because I would put in my prompt. And if I didn't get the response back, I would have to alter what I'm trying to say, which helped me not only with generative AI, but in my day-to-day conversations with people, it helped me provide context before asking a question, just little tidbits. So communication definitely is the one skill that will help. I would say delegating, because a lot of the times, if you can use generative AI to perform the tasks you don't want to, that is delegating. So if you go and apply that in your day-to-day with your coworkers, that will make you better at doing it and less hands-on and just be able to say, here's everything you need to know, here's what I need from you. It's so hard to limit it to three. I would say my third one would just be curiosity. I mean, there's tons of reports that tell you that curious people are smart, and leaning into curiosity is just better for everyone in general, because curious people look for answers that other people might not do. So just differentiate yourself and start to get curious. And the great part about this is, if you don't want to know the history of generative AI, I don't blame you, first of all. And second of all, you don't need to in order to use it effectively. So lean into the part and get curious about the parts that you like. And in turn, you will learn more information than you had going into this.
And is it a reasonable expectation that any marketer out there should find an hour per week to being curious?
That's 100% doable. Absolutely. Yes.
At a minimum, right?
At a minimum. Yeah, it's great time management, right? That's ongoing learning and education. That's something that they should be doing anyways, and specifically with AI, because it's going to tie into their day-to-day jobs eventually, if it's not already.
And the thing that I'm learning here in the conversation is that, you know, just those perspectives that you're sharing, to me, it's shedding light on, if I'm part of a team or I'm managing a team, the blueprint seems to be there in terms of how to enhance or ensure you'll have a strong performing team. It isn't just the skills or the main objective that you're there to solve for, but it's embracing everything we just talked about, so that you have I just think of it as, like, when I think high function, I just think of, it's not just doing the same thing over and over and over again, but it's iterating and improving. And
solution oriented, exactly.
Solution oriented, the right manager is going to put that in front of the team. The right team member is going to be curious to continue asking for more.
Yep.
Because it doesn't seem like there's any, there's no end in sight in terms of what we can learn tied to generative AI. So any final tips for our audience in managing the disruption of generative AI?
Just start would be a really great tip I have. And what I mean by that specifically is gather a group of people, preferably, you know, from different departments with different mindsets when it comes to generative AI. But the one commonality is they're all excited. And even if it's an exercise as simple as opening up an Excel spreadsheet and writing down generative AI applications that you're interested in, or your team wants to roll out, or they have rolled out, assign each application to one person. And what that does is it cements your strategy and it maintains your strategy. So that one person will be responsible for that one application and knowing when it's going to update and how that update will affect your business. That's it. That's the responsibility. That's the transparency. All of these responsibilities are divided equally. Everyone's going to be sharing knowledge amongst themselves about these different applications. It's not as heavy as individual contributions would be, but you're still learning as much as you would.
Right. And I think the key there, you emphasized it, which is bring the excited people together.
Yes.
Bring the excited people and the curious people together. And with this a little bit of direction, like you're saying, great things will happen.
Yes.
Great things will happen.
Very much so.
I love it. Well, this has been great. I got tons of ideas in my head here in terms of where and how to apply it, not just for myself, but also just thinking about our audience and what they could do. So if our audience wants to connect with you, they've got a question, they just want to follow to see where else you'll be talking or what else you can share, what's the best way for our audience to connect with you?
On LinkedIn, please.
Okay. And I will share that your LinkedIn URL in the show notes. So if you're interested in connecting with Ashley, check the show notes, connect with her on LinkedIn. If you send a note, which I strongly recommend, just drop the podcast that you heard her on the Marketing Careers Podcast. But also follow, see what great content that Ashley is producing. And that's great. So Ashley, thank you so much for your time today. Great insights. I think our audience is going to be taking a lot of notes from this conversation. So I truly do appreciate it. And I wish you the best of luck with everything in the future for commerce tools and beyond.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
All right. A big thanks to Ashley for her time today. Listen, lots of takeaway here from this episode. First, her human-centric approach to AI implementation. Listen, she's done it as part of the task force. So talk to the right people, get interested in team members involved. Good things can happen. Future of marketing roles and skills. Listen, Gen AI is a marketing skill. What are you doing to develop it right now? It's definitely going to impact your professional development opportunities inside of your current marketing teams, but also should be on your list of things to verify when you're interviewing and building new teams. Think about it. There's a high school student right now that will have a marketing role in 5 years that we don't even have yet. So think about that. So check the show notes. I've got a link on how to connect with Ashley, as well as a link to her newsletter on all things AI. It's amazing. Check it out. Make sure that you're subscribing to this podcast. Would love to get a rating from you, review wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And remember, I'm your host, Eric Harbison. I will catch you on the next episode.